Really, you're pro though, Batman. It's really exciting.
Bruce Wayne, Esquire?
I'm Batman.
I am the Prince.
Greetings and welcome to Superstitious and Cowardly, a Batman podcast for the Warden and Saul. I'm your host, Chris Winia, and with me as always is an energy being that has been created for me when hit by a beam, John Pfeiffer.
I'm God's mistake.
Ryan Fuchs has been transported to a strange alien planet, so he will not be joining us today.
Hey, Chris, I know we haven't gotten too far into the episode, but do you want to play a game?
Sure.
I have with me a outdated, by a few years now, one of those kid fact book things, like the weird turnstile thing. It's on like a key ring sort of. And it has a bunch of DC heroes and villains. It's made by Fandex, Family Field Guides. Pick a character, or do you want me to pick a character?
And we'll I want you to hold it up, and I'm going to just put my finger on it across the table. Right there.
Ooh, you got a good one. So this isn't just a character. This is the entire Justice League of America.
Oh. Big card.
It is a big card. So I'm wondering how we want to play this game. Do you want to try to guess facts about it? Do you just want me to list stuff out?
So what's your idea? It's not like questions?
No, it's not. I guess I'll just read facts about it.
I don't think you planned this out well.
I did not. Here, let's go with this. Where is their official base on planet? On Earth?
The UN.
No. Is Washington, D.C., according to this
index. Is it?
Well, this index is also super outdated. It doesn't have
Happy
anything
Harbor?
Before New, after New 52. Happy Harbor is not listed, although it is used in Justice League America and the current ongoing. So they're Washington, D.C., technically. Don't know why they picked that one. Not sure. And they debuted in... What did they debut in? And here's a hint. It wasn't a Justice League of America title yet.
I'm assuming it was Showcase?
No, it was actually Brave and the Bold number 28 in 1960.
Yeah.
In like March 1960. I would have thought Justice League of America was actually started out as its own title and not like a Showcase or something.
No, they usually did stuff like that to test them before, to see if anybody gave a shit.
Well, they had Justice Society, so you think they would have
But that? Justice Society, as we kind of learned on our shit episode, I meant, no, it wasn't. That was actually a good one.
Yeah, I don't know why you're being down on us. It's usually my job.
No, because that was, I was mad at it because it was supposed to be all about the Justice Society, and it was just like, oh, it's just a bunch of random stories with a small narrative link, so we decided not to go with it.
Oh, okay, here's a question for you. Who was the...
Snapper Car.
Entrepreneur... That sponsored the Justice League of America for a short time.
That was really a supervillain the whole time, even though it didn't really make sense.
I think you might know his name.
Maxwell Lord?
Damn straight.
All right, pick something.
Okay,
what is this?
Oh, it's Supergirl, I think.
No, it's not. It's Power Girl.
Yay!
Oh, it's actually something John knows about. It was a Supergirl.
I do know about Power Girl.
This whole time.
Power Girl is actually one of those DC female characters that I liked without anyone having to tell me to like a female.
So what drew
DC
you to her, John?
It was not the boob region. It wasn't, actually. It just seemed like the art was really well done in the book. It was... Plamati, I cannot pronounce the last name, and Amanda Connor. I think they're actually a husband and wife duo. They're doing like the Harley Quinn ongoing right now.
Not the first time that she's done that.
And I know other writers were on that last Supergirl ongoing, but I really did like that one.
All right, what's her real name?
The Earth name or the Kryptonian name?
You seem to think you know both of them.
Kara Zor-El?
Yep.
Okay, yay, look at me. And then Kara Starr?
All right, where do you think she first debuted?
That was a Showcase in the 70s. I can't narrow down the year, though.
All-Star Comics, 58, 1976. Okay, here's something.
Okay, I was off a little bit.
Because I know very little about her, except... Oh, look, they have Stephanie as the Batgirl in this.
Side note, if you guys want one of these, it has at least the proper Batgirl, according to many of you.
What?
People really like Stephanie Brown as Batgirl.
Really? I was
super.
Never a fan of Stephanie Brown at all. Because
her
like,
being spoiler right now is the one thing I don't really like about Detective Comics.
Because her whole character arc, when I was reading it back when she was introduced, was that I can't get this thing down. Was that she was supposed to be like a screw up, and she was a spoiler because she was spoiling her dad's villainous plots.
She, in Detective Comics, that's her name. Like, she just is spoiler now.
Yeah, I know.
Because Barbara Gordon was miraculously cured from being paralyzed from the waist down.
As we remember from a few years back when that happened to everybody.
I just like the whole idea that Bruce was paralyzed for a time and then didn't tell Barbara that he could, you know, fix it.
Got that good medicine.
All right. So that was my brief little thing. If you guys have suggestions on how to make that an actual game, I'll surely take them. You can send them along to our Twitter. We're at SACBatPod. You can just use hashtag RobinsRegulars if you want.
You
or
know,
email us.
You know what we should do?
SAC.Alfred@gmail.com.
You know what we're going to do in the next episode? We're going to go online and find a Batman quiz, and we're just going to do that.
Ooh, like one of those BuzzFeed ones or something like that? All right, deal.
All right. So, but you lucky listeners don't get to do that. And in the weeks between when we record this, we'll probably forget. So, what was happening in February 1963, John?
Not the Bay of Pigs.
Not a lot. The Beatles recorded their first album in a 13-hour session on the 11th. Tab was introduced in February 14th. The
Tab.
Soft drink, not the computer key. And in political news, the USA was still dealing with the fallout of the Cuban Missile Crisis that started in October of the past year. On the 6th, the defense secretary went on television and showed aerial proof that all USSR-owned missiles had been removed from Cuba. And the USSR would later inform President Kennedy they were withdrawing troops from Cuba on the 19th.
That's really anticlimactic when you hear about all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Also, Tabs was made in the 60s?
Yep. With Coca-Cola's first diet cola.
So they really re-upped it, what, in the late 70s, early 80s then?
Are you saying this because it was a joke in Back to the Future?
Something like... No, I wasn't thinking of that. I mean, I remember that, but I think...
Pepsi
Free. You know, when VH1 had, like, I Love the 70s and 80s and stuff like that, for some reason, I think that made an impression in my head.
Well, being introduced does not necessarily mean that it was a runaway success.
True enough.
They were being tested when it was first introduced. I just didn't think that was something we'd go into, if I'm being honest.
I find the world of soft drinks fascinating, don't you?
Well, it was supposed to be just like a dumb little tab was around.
Yeah, look at that. 'Cause
there really wasn't that much going on this month. I mean, the world's a scary place, like reading between the lines of all these events. I think a pope
died.
If
you want to make it ominous, it's like there's nothing really going on that we know of.
I mean, the Cuban Missile Crisis was a huge thing. All right, so what about our stars of our comic today? Batwoman and Batgirl.
This is what comic, though? You did not say.
We only got the one today.
We never said Batman 153.
Oh, we'll say Batman 153.
We're talking about Batman 153.
What's it called?
Prisoners of Three Worlds. There's technically three different titles. That, Death from Beyond, and Dimension of Doom, but they all collectively make the one story.
It's, as the cover says, a startling three-part novel.
Sure. Super startling, as it was set up to be startling, and then nothing really startled me.
So, Batwoman and Batgirl, in an introduction that, shit, I should have done about five episodes ago, apparently. Batwoman Kathy Kane debuted in Detective Comics 233 as a friendly rival and potential romantic foil. Why do you think that might be, John?
Because Catwoman was technically a villain, so they didn't want to use her as much.
As we remember, Catwoman did a heel face turn.
She did, but they kind of pulled away from her. And I don't know if it's because she had a reputation or what.
Well, do you remember that whole Seduction of the Innocents gay thing for Batman and Robin?
Yes.
Yo. She was also introduced following, again, the successful expansion of the Superman family. She even has an alliterative name ending with Ain. So Lois Lane, Lana Lang, that mermaid chick, etc. Kathy...
Wait, Mira?
Was her name Mira? No, not Mira. There's,
a different Aqua interest?
There's a mermaid that was his love interest.
Oh.
I don't remember her name, and the joke was just supposed to be that mermaid. I didn't think you'd expand on it. It's real, though. Kathy was a rich socialite and former circus performer that used her past skills of acrobatics, to help fight crime. I should have read her first issue, but I didn't, so there. As we have seen, she doesn't have traditional gadgets, but feminine products disguised as weapons. Compacts, hairnets.
The more I read about this version of Batwoman, the more I'm like, you know what? I haven't read a lot of like the 52 Batwoman that's been around since early 2000s, but I like her more because she doesn't do that stuff.
No, there's a lot to like about her, actually. She's like a fully fleshed out character, and well, anyway.
Very much so. The Batgirl thing is what really gets me.
What do you mean?
They never use her again, in any capacity.
Oh, you think so?
I don't... School me.
Well, we will. It's later. You've seen these things before. Kathy was actually quite prolific during her 10 years, appearing roughly 32 issues across Batman, Detective Comics, and World's Finest. As we'll see here, Batman and Kathy have a very chaste relationship, with Kathy professing her love openly while Bruce keeps his cards to his chest. Now, since I haven't read a whole ton of these, I'm actually not sure if he is supposed to return her feelings or if she was in love with him and he feels nothing for her.
But she's in love with this other guy and you just can't win.
It's like everything I've read seems to suggest the former, but I am no expert. Kathy would win in a few what-if stories where she married Bruce, but still. Kathy would retire along with her niece a year after this story when the New Look era started. She would make a few appearances, including one we will be definitely looking at when we're looking at Dennis O'Neill's Ra's al Ghul stories, so no spoilers on that one.
Ooh, I'm excited for that.
But her later appearances were in Brave and the Bold, where a couple Brave and the Bold Earth 2 issues where she helped Earth 1 Batman after Earth 2 Batman died. No wonder they decided to delete all that shit later.
Convoluted.
Yep, that's why we have a crisis. Kathy would be replaced in her exile by Barbara Gordon's version of Batgirl, and due to her popularity, Kathy was deemed redundant. She would not return until the Batman Inc. arc, where she showed up rather randomly. She would be replaced by Kate Kane, an openly gay character with a way better costume and backstory and personality and pretty much everything. Hopefully more on her later. But what if Robin? Doesn't he need puss too? I'm glad that landed. Enter Bat-Girl. Bat-Girl was Kathy's niece and made 8-ish appearances, with her first being in Batman 139 in June 1961.
Just so you know, I love that you're saying the hyphen in there, because no one else gets a hyphen anymore.
No one else gets a hyphen. But like, even if you like look online for information on her, like that's how you find her, is it's spelled like that, like Wikipedia and all that shit.
Oh.
Bat-Girl. She fought by her aunt's side using the same female-based weapons and a similar garish outfit. Although, in fairness to her, like, at least her outfit kind of matches Robin's colors. Kathy's like...
Yeah, but the difference, the only up that Batwoman has over Batgirl is Batwoman's wearing pants.
She's wearing pants, although this was the 60s, and skirts were seen as liberating for women.
Are you just making that up?
No, I'm actually not.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
But, I think we should... Did we ever even mention what Batman Woman's wearing?
We have a couple...
She's wearing, like, a white, yellow outfit that's black-trimmed with red accents.
Yeah. It's very... It seems like something that if she was Batwoman in, like, the 30s or... Like, I mean, the late 30s, 40s or whatever, it would make more sense than Batwoman of the 60s.
Yeah.
Like a Dick Tracy sort of a look to her, actually, like color-wise.
Guess when Betty stopped showing up?
Right after this issue?
No, the New Look era. Every single time I've mentioned somebody, that's when they stopped showing up. She'd be replaced in the 70s by Barbara Gordon and the 90s by Cassandra Cain. Are you noticing a name pattern with the Bat Ladies and last names?
Kay.
Kane, Kane, Kane. Kate Kane, Kathy Kane, and actually Cassandra Kane is... A C, but it's still Kane. It's all named after Bob Kane. Not really. I like how you kind of went...
I thought my eyes were like, huh?
Unlike Kathy, however, her story doesn't really end there. When both appeared in the 70s, Betty was in the pages of Teen Titans, so it was brought back later with a new gimmick, Flame Bird.
I remember reading something about Flame Bird.
Flame Bird's still around today.
The Flame Bird that I'm remembering... Oh, sorry, I was confusing very briefly for a DC villain that appeared in one issue of, like, Global Guardians or something like that, that had Green Lantern's, like, sidekick Pie Face, which is a huge racist thing to say, because he was an Eskimo. That was Snowflame, or Snowbird, or something like that, where it was a supervillain for one issue that got his powers from overdosing on cocaine. So that just confused me for a second, but it's just such a great villain that I had to talk about him.
Yeah, there's never any reason to apologize for talking about that guy. Flamebird shows up still today in Teen Titans and on like the sidelines, but kind of they changed her last name, so she's not related to the Batman family until recently, where she became the sidekick of Kate Kane. Or at least she was trained into it. It's kind of a newer storyline, so there's not a lot of information.
See, I'm so limited. I've read a little bit of Batwoman, but I'm so limited that I've missed out on that story. I kind of want to find it now.
Also, every single one of these women is somehow related to Bruce, but I really don't feel like getting into it. It's like that time I tried to explain to you the relationships between all the snakes in Metal Gear. Yeah. This is something that is really mean, but it's something that when I was looking at kind of like the comic book database, somebody just put on here. Her role, like that of her modern age counterpart, Flame Girl 3, was to provide romantic attentions for Robin. But if her goal was to prove that Robin wasn't the boy sex slave of Batman, why would she create a such an annoying female that a reasonable heterosexual wouldn't have touched? That's mean, but at the same time, it does bring up the question that, like, I mentioned it earlier, it's like, in this issue, Batman Bruce is not attracted to Kathy Kane.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll
that
talk
more,
about
yeah.
that, but it's like, so these are your romantic interests, and they are interested in him. He doesn't seem interested in her. Robin does seem interested in the girl, though.
To be fair, he's like a high school kid, so I don't think it takes much.
Well, anyways, with that retrospective out of the way, not one of my better ones, but still, let's take a look at the first issue-long Batman story, Prisoners of Three Worlds, by Bob Finger, Sheldon Moldoff, and Charles Paris. Currently going for $35 to $220 on eBay. Prisoners of Three Worlds.
Part one?
Part one.
There is three chapters to it.
It is a time of great deception in Gotham City. Batman and Robin are currently... Ah, shit.
Quick question before we really get into it. Do you think this need to be three chapters?
No.
There we go.
But at the same time, I found that they flowed actually rather well.
Fair enough. And that cover is...
Okay.
Fun. It's kind of fun. Dotted lines around Robin and Batgirl. You can see like Batman and Batwoman have this weird after image technique behind them for some reason. And then a weird like crotchety old Walter Matthau looking aliens like shooting with a ray beam.
Batman, Robin's got a weird dick thing going on.
Yeah, why's this, like, side skirt thing, like, flowing up?
Yeah, it's, and, like, there's a lot of detail drawn to his crotch. I don't know why we're doing that. So, we get a splash page of something that'll happen in the actual comic itself. We're back to a jewelry shop that has spent a lot of money making giant reproductions of jewelry.
If I went to a jewelry store, it's like, hey, I want to buy my girlfriend or wife something nice, and I really want to impress
her.
You have
both of those.
I do, but my favorite's my wife. I don't go to the jewelry store that has like a giant inflatable gorilla in the parking lot or a giant ring like hanging up in a display. Like that doesn't impress me at all. So I don't. It's the same thing that the comics that we've been reading have been doing for a while now. Just
do you think this is something that actually happened and we just don't know about it? You go into places and it's like, oh, look at the giant things of the things that I want to buy. You walk into a grocery store, there's just a giant loaf of bread just in the middle of things. Oh man, that makes me want bread.
That would explain why I went to a museum and there was just a bunch of audio artifacts, like a giant record player that was the size of my house. That would explain it.
So like a Shakespearean play of old, first we're introduced to our characters. It seems that Bruce is currently being a dick to Jim Gordon, who shows up after a very long absence. Apparently, he still goes to Gordon's office and
just
hangs out.
It's not like they're sitting in a coffee shop, like just hanging out for a little bit. Like Bruce is like, Gordon's not actually doing anything important for the city. I'm just going to go in there and shoot the shit.
We're best buddies. Dick is coming out of school. He looks like a real sourpuss. And the other girls are like, what a drag. He's such a dreamboat, but he never wants to go to dances.
Kathy Kane's at the beach with a taco shell on her head.
She ain't looking too bad, though. I'll give her that.
Her eyes aren't so wide or so far apart as they were the last couple of times. People at the beach are, you know, I don't get it. She's so attractive. Why isn't she married yet? Well, depending on the continuity, she's super gay. So I don't know. Maybe she hasn't found the right woman.
No, it's a different person.
I know.
But it's some big fat guy is just on the beach going, hey, honey, why isn't she a man? She's attractive,
women should
right?
be married to men at an early age.
But he's conforming to society to his standards. Wife. So,
yeah, and then for some reason, Betty Kane just gets off a train and no one's giving her crap.
No, so she doesn't get, like...
3/4 of the characters, someone's dogging on them for being like a stick in the mud or being boring and not doing anything with themselves, whatever.
Also, Kathy, the narrator, I don't think likes her very much because he just goes, Kathy Kane, blessed with riches and beauty.
Yeah, that's not a really good way to describe somebody. Kane. Yeah.
With her circus money.
And then it just cuts away to Batman and Robin getting ready to go out on patrol, and then Batwoman and Batgirl getting ready to go out on patrol, and they imply that they're in two different locations, but it looks like they're just, like, on two different sides of the same cave wall.
Yeah, this implies that Kathy Kane has a fucking Batcave.
I saw her house. It was, like, next to a dairy farm. I don't think she's got a cave.
And it also looks better equipped, too. There's, like, some shit in the back of hers. It's just more cave in the back of his.
I like to think that she's just, like, in some different wing of his, and he just doesn't go in that area of the Batcave that often.
Or they're actually in her living room, and she just has, like, a big painted backdrop.
I lost my house. She just lived in a cave.
So anyways, we then are introduced to our villain of the piece. There's some... He looks so familiar, but I can't put my finger
on it. Walter Matthau.
No, like, a cartoon character. Oh! I just got it. Have you ever watched Birdman?
Attorney at Law?
Well, it's the same thing. Yeah. It's the same character designs. He had like a rival lawyer who was actually voiced by Stephen Colbert. Oh, what was his name? I want to say it was like Reducto or something. It looks pretty similar. So Reducto is going... I don't think that's it now that I'm going to say that. So Reducto is going around in his spaceship. He decides to hide it in a...
He decides to hide his teleporter. Just the teleporter into what he thinks is an abandoned building. And then when he goes and tries to get away, and apparently he's on his way to get Vox, and we have no idea what Vox is at the time, a male helicopter, because those are super common, sees them and sees the aliens, and he's like, he's not, holy shit, it's an alien. He's like, oh, I better tell the cops. They might want to know about this. Do you think the cops might want to know about aliens just walking around? They're going to take our jobs, Chris.
Well, let's just say that it's very lucky that Amazon came along and helped revitalize the U.S. Postal Service, because if they're spending all their money on helicopters, they don't need those.
Like, I don't doubt that there's mail helicopters in, like, really rural areas and stuff like that. Like,
I think it's time we started worrying about female helicopters, John.
Equal rights is something that's going to be coming up in this issue quite a bit. While the cops are still on their way, apparently, this alien's going through, and his Vox detector is going off like crazy. Apparently, he needs whatever Vox is. We'll later find out it's silver, but he needs a lot of it. And instead of just talking to somebody saying, hey, I need silver, and he can effectively lie to people about the reason, like, hey, I just need silver to save my race, he goes through and just starts, like, stealing crap and disintegrating walls before Batman and Robin show up to the jewelry store, the two-story-tall jewelry store. That the alien's just flying around in, like, a bumper car.
Also, those giant jewelry that we talked about, they're, like, 2 feet away from the floor.
That's very important to notice.
There's no reason for them to...
Well, I don't get it. It's two stories, and they want to get that alien up there. If they swing up, because they're going to swing up on that ring and try to get to him, or if they go up the stairs. Either way, the alien is on this hover... car thing, like, he can get away fairly easy, so I don't know why they can't just use the stairs. But they swing up, and when they swing up onto this ring so they can get up to the next story, the alien uses his hovercraft, Karn. They finally give us a name. Karn uses his hovercraft to snap the props of the ring, and Batman narrowly saves himself and Robin from a 2-foot drop off the floor,
which would have caused sprained ankles at the very least. Another thing that they kind of show up but like is never really mentioned again is that the alien is speaking to us by projecting his thoughts.
Yeah, they talk about that very quickly
and then they never bring it up again.
The thing is, they do it, you know how sometimes we'll see that heading over top of a panel that describes what we're already seeing in the panel, like vice, like Batman's hands grab their target.
Yeah, we talked about like in the way back in the first,
it's like
issue.
Just describing the thing that you're already seeing. So why don't they use that on this panel where he starts telegraphing his thoughts through his mind? Instead, it just has Batman with a speech bubble going. He's speaking to us by projecting his thoughts. Well, Robin's doing... He knows. He already knows. If you're going to tell us, that's fine, but use the box you've already established.
But there's nothing that... He's got a mouth. There's nothing that... That doesn't lead into anything later on.
No.
Yeah, we don't need that. It's just alien for the sake of alien.
I wish they would just at least hold to their own standards for certain things, either for the actual description of the alien or how they use or the reason they use certain boxes in certain ways. They're just be consistent, guys.
So speaking of consistency, he shoots him with his ray gun, but it doesn't disintegrate them. But going back to the panels that tell us what's going on, we get, is this the end of Batman Robin? And then like the next panel, it's like,
no. And here's the thing. This is one issue of a comic. And it's the whole way through. There's three different chapters, and they all connect to each other. So this wasn't a break from chapter one to chapter two. It was literally, like you said, just you turn the page. No, they're fine.
No, they're fine. Don't worry
about it. They just got knocked out, and a security guard wakes them up. Like, hey, you guys, doesn't happen.
Kid was like, oh, man, I got to go to bed. I don't think they're going to make it out of this one. And then he never picks up another Batman comic again. So to him, they died there.
I like the idea that when the security guard woke them up after they were unconscious, he was just Robin going, Bruce, hold me tighter.
Sandbag the shit on that. All right, so we find out that he didn't get disintegrated, but that means that he's a good guy because he's no killer, right?
No.
No, it doesn't.
So alien gets away. He's looking for more box, which we know is silver.
We find out that he didn't touch diamonds or gold or anything. He just touched silver.
Yeah. And like, well, that's a clue for us. We'll start looking at stuff. Batwoman and Batgirl, while they're trying to catch up to Batman Robin, see this alien go by. At the same time, they get a radio transmission from Batman saying, hey, if you see this alien, let us know. We need to know right away. We're on the trail of him. So Batwoman notifies them, hey, we saw him going down this road, and they meet up their vehicles. She's driving a motorcycle, which her motorcycle, way better than the Batmobile right now, I feel. Like, I really like that motorcycle.
Well, it doesn't have a geodesic dome, so.
So they meet up, and they're like, hey, we saw them going down this one road, and it leads to, and Robin's like, well, that leads to the Ace Film Company plant. They use a lot of silver there. And then Batman's like, hey, I heard they use a lot of silver there.
He gives a reason why they use silver.
Robin actually was good, and he knew what he was doing, and then Batman had to, like, one-up him for some reason. It's like, calm down, Ward. I know the answer. They're down at this film company. They use a lot of silver there.
Hey, dumb shit. Don't just tell them they use silver. Tell them why they use the silver.
They don't need to know why right now. It's for film processing.
We're not going to say why, though, because I can't pronounce those words. So he comes up and he's like, my box detectors, I've been to a great quantity of box this time. What awful dialogue.
Yeah.
It's not like we're wondering, oh, man, what do you think he's there for?
Cool thing about these issues or this issue is there's a lot of different art in the background. Like, they're not reusing the same scene too much over and over and over. However, the dialogue suffers, like you were saying. It's just, yeah. So they catch up to the alien, and the alien tries to cut him off, and they try to stop the alien, and the alien gets away. And
something
then Bruce,
I was
like hits a chemical on him, and that's, yeah.
Something I always liked was, he goes, it's the one that called themselves Batman and Robin. First off, why would you even give a shit about what their names are?
Is he telepathing that to other people? Like, hey, I don't know if you guys know this. It's Batman Robin. It's an inner monologue, right?
That's yeah, and then he goes, and with them are two masked females. Well, first off,
I don't
actually know that he knows that they're females. I don't know if he has females on his. Oh, he does. We'll get into that.
So our alien Karn gets away. But Batman had thrown a bottle of chemicals from one of the trucks on him. So like, okay, we're going to use that to track him again.
Because this is an offshoot of the Ace Chemical Factory, so they had a bunch of chemicals there.
Is this Ace or is this Acme?
It's actually Ace Film Company.
There's another thing that we're going to read later that's Acme. It's always Ace or Acme. It's always an A.
That's always simple stuff.
Yeah.
See, back in the day, all companies had were A or Acme or something like that, so they could be first in the phone book.
I think you told me that before. Why did I not remember
that's
that?
It's a dumb joke.
It's
like,
a very old
joke.
It's a nice little like anecdote and stuff. It kind of makes sense.
Like AAA washing. It's just so you could be like first in the phone book.
Oh my God! The new phone book's here! The new phone book's here!
So when they meet up to
fucking
the alien...
Duckman, he used to have this... It was called, the episode was Society Plumbers.
Duckman, what? You know what? I referenced The Critic once, and you gave me a hard time for it, and here you come with Duckman. And
something
it's okay.
That nobody watched except for me when I was a kid, because I thought it was a naughty show.
It kind of is for a kid.
Kind of, but not really. But, like, they had their plumbing agency in one episode was, like, plumbing. And they had, like, this big sign that stuck out past the van. And there was, like, this whole bit where they were just like, are these the plumbers from AAAAAA? And they kept saying, yes, these are the plumbers from A. And, like, he's like, okay, we got a show to do. We haven't even started yet.
So they meet, they track our alien Karn back to the warehouse where he initially dropped off his teleporter ray. And as soon as Batman shows up, he's like, you know what, guys, your interference has been too much. I'm forced to take drastic action. And Batman's like, great Scott, everyone back away. He's going to take drastic action. And the alien's like, I just said that. Really? Why do you have to repeat everything I say? Hey, guys, he says I keep repeating everything he says.
He uses his cash register to shoot Batman.
It kind of looks like a slot machine.
A little bit. He shoots him, and you might notice through the art that Batman and Batwoman are standing on a sewer grate. Something I noticed in the second one. I wasn't really paying attention this time. So
I like how both Robin's like, Batgirl, look out. And Batman's like, Batwoman, get down. Why don't they just...
Hey, everybody, let's not get shot. We gotta protect the women, folk.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine to protect another person, but at the same time, they're theoretically all trained to take down criminals. Why can't they just say the words, hey, get back, and then everyone move away separately? Instead, they're like, hey, let's get closer together so we can all get shot at once.
Because we missed the scene where they were in the Batmobile going, well, Batman and Batwoman and Batgirl are there, so we need to help them along, Robin, because they're feeble-minded compared to us. So anyways, we go on and we get another, has it happened at last? Has death come to the brave champions of justice?
Yep, and we see that same kind of art that we were seeing in the cover page where Robin and Batgirl, I'm going to be doing that the whole time, have little like dotted invisible girl outlines around them, and Batwoman and Batman just look like their energy is being drawn from them, and it's just to be continued in chapter 2.
But also, we get an advertisement for Detective Comics End. No, it's both Detective Comics. So guess what we could be reading, John?
Detective Comics?
The Challenge of the Catman. He's apparently on a giant metal cat.
Oh, we could have been reading Catman?
Could have been reading Catman. And it looks like The Secret of Clayface's Power, where Batman apparently becomes another Clayface. Like, they don't have enough of those.
So next up, we have Batman and Robin in Chapter 2, Death from Beyond. It's a really nice splash page. It's like a weird lizard bath Mothra kind of a monster, like just hanging out in the sky with a bunch of bird people that aren't Thanagarians. At least I think I said Thanagarians correctly. And then a weird aura versions of Batman and Batwoman. Think like Blue Superman from like the late 90s, kind of an outline. And that's it. Concentrate. We must focus our energy force at that winged monster. And they're doing some weird like Kamehamehas towards the creature. But it's really nice. Like, I actually kind of like it. They're holding hands for some reason, I guess, to combine energy.
Yeah, it's in the issue. Did you read it?
Yeah.
You're supposed to read it before we do this.
I know I read these. I was just making a comment. Okay, cut that.
No, keep that in.
That's good stuff.
So we go back to where we were. And it turns out that Batwoman and Batman are still there because they're still standing on a sewer. Great.
That's the word.
Yes. I've just lost my train of thought.
And Batman, Batgirl, and Robin are nowhere to be seen. They think they're disintegrated. And the alien's like, oh, that's very odd. My teleporter, in all caps and bold, should have transmitted you two to my dimension as it did the boy and the girl, yet it didn't. And then Batwoman's like, did you hear that, woman? Did you hear that, woman? It kind of makes sense. Did you hear that, Batwoman? Robin and Batgirl are alive. They're alive! And the alien's like, yeah, I just said it. They're fine.
Yeah, he's kind of being a dick today.
He's kind of repeating everything. Like, the more I'm reading this and really talking about it, the more I'm like, Batman's just...
I love this.
He makes everything sound like it's his idea.
I do love this next bit, though, where he's like, oh, no, I can't send you there. Get in this closet. And they
do. He tries to shoot him like two more times, like, oh, that's weird. It's not working. They do, but at the same time, I think they do that because he has a different ray gun pointed at him, and they feel weak, like something's missing. And then they both come to the conclusion, like, oh, our bodies have been split. Our souls are just basically somewhere else. And they're like, yeah, that sounds right.
And they are. They're right.
It's one of those things that, like, hey, it's obviously the only thing it could be. Our energy's been sent to a different dimension. No other? No? Okay.
No.
Like, that's the only thing it could be? All right.
So they become pure energy, and they're on some freakish alien world.
It's another Doctor Who kind of background.
Kind of, yeah.
And like, what?
Doctor Who wishes they had the budget this time for that.
No kidding.
Well, they're also 6 years away from being a thing. So,
what's happened? Somehow we must have been transported to another world, and their energy versions are just as all-knowing as their physical counterparts. We know exactly where we are, and this is weird.
So they're in their little shack trying to get out, but they're so weak.
Back on Earth.
But he still does have his utility belt, which will dissolve the lock and free us, which I don't think they actually ever do.
They do. They just cut away from it. It's again, and it's something I've been talking about the last few issues, is they cut away from some of the action when it'd be fun to see, like, Batman Robin collapsing after they get hit by a death ray or something. But they always cut away from, like, the cool bits. They just don't want to draw it.
So speaking of Dragon Ball Z, they're being attacked by a bunch of Chaozus. Kind of look like him a little bit.
A little bit. The aura versions on the other dimension of Batwoman and Batman start walking towards civilization. And when they do, they realize that their energy that they're putting off is destroying things around them. And they're like, oh, shit, sorry. And, of course, the weird, not quite Thanagarian people, these weird-looking bird people, are kind of pissed off. They're like, sorry, we didn't mean to. And
so they send their soldiers after them.
And they try to run away.
But by running through the forest, they're just destroying trees with their
It's one of those things. It's like, oh, crap. I didn't mean to. Oh, God. Just constantly running away is just making it even worse. But they can't, like, just... I don't know why they're worried. They're pure energy, so I don't see how those creatures could affect them.
They're also do-gooders. Well, actually, they throw spears at them, and they just disintegrate.
Yeah, so they could have just stood where they were. They didn't have to run. Caused less damage that way, actually.
But luckily for them, Rodan shows up and starts to attack the bird people.
Yeah, and then they decide, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to just do a bunch of Kamehamehas and shoot this thing with a bunch of energy. And they're like, hey, we got it, yay. And the bird people, for understandably, like, hey, these guys aren't that bad. And they're trying to warn them, hey, don't get too close to this monster. So what do? They get close to the monster.
I'm like, yeah, but I want to, like, take his teeth or something as a souvenir.
Meanwhile, and they cut away before they actually walk to the monster, and they cut away back to our Earth counterparts of Batman and Batwoman, where they're like, something must have been different. I know, we're standing on top of that steel sewer grate. That must have been the reason. And they are in another room now. They don't show how they got out of the room, but they're in another room now, the one with the teleporter. And Batman automatically knows how to work it, but they can't push it far enough, even though it's on rollers already, I think. Because how did the alien get out the first time?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually.
Because they put it on roller skates later on, but right now they can't push the machine. Their strength's gone because their auras are on another dimension. That's the stupidest sentence I've said all day.
I have a stupider one. The dying animal sucks out energy as it's dying.
You could say it's a defense mechanism for some reason. It's an alien. I don't know.
I don't like that, though. Why would something that's dying need energy? It's dying.
It's a defense mechanism, so it doesn't, like, affect the rest of its herd or something. I don't know. I got to headcan the heck out of that.
It's called the revenge principle. The vengeance.
The vengeance
beam.
Directive.
If I die, I'm taking you with me.
So while these energy versions of Batman and Batwoman are starting to fade away because their energy is being drawn from them, our physical versions are, oh no, something's happening to our energy cells. Oh no, this is the worst thing ever. And Batwoman just professes her love to Batman. And he's like, I do love you too. He's like, oh, I kind of love you. And she's all Batman, and they kiss, and she's really into it.
He is not.
He is really not into it.
He doesn't like... He doesn't puff out his lips.
He is like, you are not a hairless 12-year-old boy.
It's hard to tell if his eyes are open while he's doing it. Seems like it, though.
But he has enough concentration in his mask to make his eyebrows seem disappointed and worried.
That's true.
I always love that in comic books. Like, I'm wearing a mask, but you can see my eyebrows. It's like when a dog kind of does something, you can kind of tell he's kind of skeptical or surprised.
This scene would be redone in Batman Inc. I remember this, with her saying something about drugs.
So basically, this chapter of the story ends with both versions of Batman and Batwoman not knowing what the future holds for them. They think they're going to die, and this is it. And that's the end of the chapter. I like it better than the last one.
True.
Please, dear God, let chapter 3 save it. And now, letters to the Batcave.
Dear editor, I just read the September Batman number 150, and I think it was excellent. I enjoyed the first and last stories the best. I liked the letter page better than usual this time, probably because it said something about Detective Comics, which is one of my favorite. The reason I've written to you is to ask you to have two stories in Batman instead of three. There's more space to develop a plot in two stories. I could say Batman stories in Detective Comics better because of this. Also, why do you have a two- or three-part novel sometimes? Batman's a great character. I'd love to see him in a three-part novel. By the way, my favorite stories are murder stories, so please have more of them. How old is this kid?
I think someone helped him write it. And to be fair, he's kind of on to something. Like, you need to, like, give your characters room to breathe and actually develop them.
I like their response. It's basically like, hey, dickhead, that's what we're doing in this issue, so shut up.
Actually, that'd be too hard to explain, and we don't have enough time for that. Yes, you do.
Dear editor, this is my favorite first letter to the Batcave. I have an idea that I think you might use. In Batman, you have three stories, so why not have the first be about Batman and Robin, the second be about Batwoman and Batgirl, hyphen Batgirl, and the third be about Offlaw plus Bat-Hound and sometimes even Batmite.
I like that he's pushing for Batmite a little bit.
And then I kind of look through here and, like, there's one that was like, hey, Batwoman's really great. You should have him be in more stuff. Have her be in more stuff.
She was always appearing in other stuff. She never had her own until
2000-something,
right?
Yeah, until, like, 2000-something.
Yeah.
Even Barbara didn't have her own. She just showed up every once in a while in backup features and stuff.
First ongoing for Batgirl, not until, like, the 90s?
Yeah. Cassandra Cain was the first ongoing.
That's one of those things that kind of surprises me, like how Green Arrow really didn't have his own until the Mike Grell stuff, I think. Like, he was always featured in other things. Like,
he had, like,
and stuff
he had
like
a short, like, 4-issue thing in the 70s. That was it. All right, so the Dimensions of Doom.
And that is three Walter Matthaus on one splash page while Batgirl and Robin are toting water to their village.
So they show up. Because we completely forgot about them for a while. They show up in, I don't know, where do you think? Just an office?
Yeah, it looks like just some office building on an alien planet. Like, it's just a very bureaucratic looking thing, even if it's on an alien world.
What was the first guy's name?
Karn.
Okay, so this is Karn's boss. Oh, it's right there. And Karn's boss is like, I guess I'll tell you guys all why we were stealing silver. It's the power of this death ray. And she's like, oh,
It's That's a bigger something. Version of what our Karn had back on Earth.
And then he thinks to himself that, like, it's all a big secret. It's his secret weapon that war was outlawed on their planet. And so now when he has an actual gun, he'll be able to take over because he didn't plan on the army getting aboard with a nail in it to fight after them.
Did you already have that written up? Because that was going to be my joke. Like, I didn't think about it until just then.
No, we thought about it pretty much at the same time. So he's going to use it to make himself dictator. But despite the fact that, like, he didn't really say this to them, Batgirl knows what's up and is like, oh, that's great. Let me put on my makeup. I'm just a scared little girl.
This is my favorite bit for all the wrong reasons. Because, like you said, it's like, would anyone mind if I put on a little lipstick? And I love his response. A female is the same in any world. Okay? When facing a problem, she always resorts to powdering her nose or putting on fresh lipstick. Way to be super condescending and ass backwards, you alien dipshit.
So she uses her compact to
put them in wire. Her crime compact, let's be fair.
To just have wires around them, I guess?
Look at this! Exploding slinkies! I got excited for this because I was like, oh, that's really cool. She's got like a taser thing that can hit multiple targets. No, they're just springs.
Yeah, I thought it was a taser too, but it's just springs, and apparently that's enough. He punches one dude right in the dick, and then they run away.
When the aliens are like, oh, these springs are all around us, what will we do? It kind of reminded me how, if you watch an infomercial for a product.
There's got to be a better way.
Yeah, to solve a problem that doesn't really exist. They're like, whoa, what's going on? It's like my favorite infomercial product is like the spaghetti strainer that hooks to a sink faucet. So it has somewhere to actually go when you try to pour the spaghetti, like, to drain it into
the
sink.
My God, that's brilliant.
But the thing is, like, so it's something to hold it and add a little extra support when you're trying to strain
John,
whatever you're boiling.
No. John, you gotta stop digging. You've already struck gold. I will buy two.
So, in the infomercial, the lady's, like, about to pour it into a regular strainer, and then all of a sudden she starts having a seizure, and spaghetti's, like, all over the kitchen. Like, it's not even in the sink. And I'm like, well, that's just an overreaction. And the aliens kind of had the whole thing of, like, springs exploded. And then, like, they're doing some weird acting class exercise where they're rolling on the ground. Or I don't know what's happening.
Bigger, this is a talkie. So they jump out the window and
they run to the woods.
They run to the woods
because grandmother's house.
A lot of that today. And they're what's he say? They are coming at us on strange. They are coming at us on strange looking steeds.
You could just say horses. I still get it.
It's a horse. So they also have like a yak that's also a rhino that charges them.
It's a rhino with like a weird shaped head, but it still looks like a rhino. Robin's like, hey, I could take Batgirl off this tree with me too, but screw it. I'm just going to pour a bunch of sap on it so bugs get to it and distracts it.
Sticky sap into its face. God, this doesn't make any fucking sense.
If Robin knows anything, it's sticky sap.
So they get away from that that trial of Hercules and run into another, which is a plant that apparently just has tendrils that look out for water.
Apparently we're in Jumanji right now. That's what's happening. Welcome to the jungle, baby.
In theaters now. but probably not by the time this is released.
So they discover, like, it didn't, like, try to suck Robin's blood or whatever. It just, like, pushed
just punched him
out
in the face
and knocked him out for a second. And they're like, oh, he just really likes water. And for some reason, Robin getting knocked out by a plant really makes Batgirl kind
of
horny.
Oh, she's crazy for it. She can't get enough
she's like,
of that
look
sap.
Look at those thick vines and that sap. My God.
Oh, my goodness. The way that tendril popped out like I'm imagining a penis would. This is the 60s. I'm not allowed to see things like that.
Okay. And then all of a sudden, she just, like, very much like her aunt, she just kisses Robin, and Robin's like, I don't know what to do about this.
He's
like,
Robin seems more into it, though.
This is a weird sensation. I'm not used to a tongue being in my mouth.
Oh, John. You're supposed to be the good one. It does look like he's closing his eyes, though.
Yeah, it's odd. And then, like, Robin's like, blah, 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 girl touch, cooties, gross.
He does just like, well, that was nice. Let's get out of here.
He's like, I'm just not going to talk about it. And they find some weird, like, salt mica crystals. I don't know what those are.
They just ride down it like it's snow on giant leaves.
I kind of thought it was like kind of a salt kind of a substance, but
this is a very visual story, and I don't think we're prepared to describe everything.
I am not. Basically, think of Jumanji and then what you would do if you were in Jumanji. It's just weird, overgrown. It's like Jumanji Willy Wonka mixed in one, like just weird plants and objects, like just being in everybody's way.
If you go to the Rotten Tomatoes page of Jumanji, you'll see that John's written down a review that says, like that Batman comic.
Like Batman 156.
Without monkeys.
They try to get away, and they are in their path to the city, because they're trying to get to the city to inform the actual government that this guy is going to try to overthrow the planet or the area.
Which they shouldn't give a shit about.
They shouldn't. They'd be like, we should be focusing on getting home right now. If we can get back, because Batman has a teleporter now, effectively, we'll worry about going back again later. But instead, they're trying to get to the city, and they are met with a body of water. And like, the guys are coming up behind us. They're going to catch up to us pretty quick. And they think of a plan.
So they throw water down in front of the trees that do the big suckers that like come out and punch people, and it punches all the guys except for one, who Robin just punched him off his horse.
And then they take his horse and they ride into the city. But my question is, if those plants want water so bad and they'll just knock people out of the way to get it, why didn't they attack Robin and Batgirl when they were transporting the water to throw on the guards?
Or why didn't they suck the water out of Batman, Batgirl, and Robin?
Like, just take any moisture they had, their precious bodily fluids out of their
bodies?
Like
in that Star Trek episode?
Yeah.
Where Dr. McCoy is like, well, basically,
the salt
humans are 90% water.
The salt monster thing?
And you're like, no, they're not that much.
You know what? For, like, the four episodes of the original stuff I've watched,
you've actually seen that one?
I've actually watched the salt monster one. Either way, Batman, Batgirl, jeez.
I know, I've done it too.
And Robin get away on a steed, and 2 seconds later, they're already coming back with, like, the local
government. They had a way better adventure, too.
They cut away
way better, though. It's like Batman and Batwoman are stuck in a shed. Their energy things just, like, get attacked by Rodan. And these guys, like, have all kinds of crazy shit that happens.
This
to
is
them.
Actually an adventure. But it cuts away from them escaping to them coming back to the complex they originally escaped from with a bunch of government people to stop our evil professor guy that has, you can tell he's the mastermind because he has a little goatee.
He
didn't talk about that.
And glasses.
But the thing is, they cut away from when they escape to when they come back. And it would have had been fun to have at least a panel of Robin and Batgirl, because I don't know why they speak the same language. Oh, it's telepath. So, okay. Fine. They're telepaths. But they don't have that.
That doesn't really
they don't
make
have that,
sense.
But okay. they don't have that scene of them going, hey, I know we look really weird, but some guy is like going to overthrow you. And they're like, why should we believe? There's no conversation between the people they meet.
It's like they just said, hey, do you know Xanthan? Yeah, he's a dick. Is he ever? Let's go.
On our way. I just want to see that conversation just a little bit. But either way, they get back, and before Robin and Batgirl can stop our professor, he fires the ray on himself so he can get transported and meet up with Karn. And his name, I don't know how I didn't notice this earlier. I'm pretty sure they said it. His name is Zebo. It's the missing Marx brother.
It is.
So our either professor for these aliens is Zebo, and our main alien was Karn. Sure. But
the
in
the sisterhood of Karn.
The sisterhood of the traveling Karn. Well, in the meantime, they Batman and Batwoman had put rollerblades.
Can I just say, it is so tough to describe all these characters because their names are so similar.
You know what? Whenever I make notes for this stuff, because I do try to at least prepare somewhat, it's like, geez, I got to write Batman and Batwoman out 15 more times because this character does this and this character does that.
Luckily, the abandoned factory was apparently a roller rink.
The good thing we were at a roller skate plant. What? That's awfully convenient. Also, that machine had rollers on it earlier. I'm pretty sure it had rollers on it. Somehow they mustered up the strength to put roller skates on this machine. This top
I love what a dick the Batman is, though, because, like, what do you think the hardest job is? Tilting the machine. So he makes Batwoman do it.
Oh, well, this is a job for a woman. But
Batman, I know we talked about you not being condescending and you treating me like an equal, but... I think you're better equipped for this. Oh, that's foolishness.
You want equal rights. You got it, honey. Well, wait a second. But the reason they're putting roller skates on is so they can take it outside so they can be under that steel grate again. And if they reverse polarity, because that makes sense, it might bring their auras back instead of it being irreparable damage. But whatever.
And it does.
And it does. But meanwhile, Zebo has met up with Karn. He said, everything is messed up because you transported those two kids there and they ruined our plans. Well, they're two kids, but I thought you could handle them.
Yeah, really? You had a lot of guards in there. What'd you do? Get hit with, like, makeup or something? No.
So in the meantime, Batman and Batwoman fix themselves. Robin and Batgirl have used the other machine on the other dimension, which they don't show that part of Robin trying to figure this out. That would have been nice. And they transported back.
People from the city there. I figured they just did it.
They didn't invent the machine.
We don't know that.
They're telepaths. Someone knows. All our main characters are back on Earth in Gotham at that abandoned factory again. We have Karn. We have the missing Marx Brothers Zebo. And we have Batman, Batwoman, Batgirl, and Robin, which seems like he's the odd man out anymore. Why not Batboy or Batbaby? And as soon as Batman has gotten his strength back, he punches Karn square in the face.
Well, Batwoman tackles him from behind. In a thing that we're going to see in
She tackles Zebo, yeah.
Yeah. So that done, they send him back to their dimension because apparently like the aliens didn't send like any cops to help out the kids. They're just like, oh, you guys are pretty good. I saw what you did with those sucker plants.
Maybe they like could send like, you can look at my memories and see all the training I have. Yeah, but we could still go like make sure that we extradite our people back to us properly or whatever. So they tie up Karn and Zebo. They send them back. Robin and Batgirl head back off to the woods to make out Creek. And Batwoman, meanwhile, is like, hey, did you really mean what you said earlier? And then Batman just, he negs her really good. I think that's the appropriate term. He's like, I just said that to raise your spirits. Oh, no, she better not find out that I'm super into dudes.
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. Like, he doesn't like her at all, but she was introduced as a love interest, right?
You think that him making out with his cousins one of his cousins a while back would have, like, made her not interested in him anymore? It's a very, why?
Yeah, just why.
And that concludes our three-part story, The Prisoners of Three Worlds. Overall, while we do have various things of, like...
Well, we kind of talk some shit about
misogyny and all these other things that happen. How did you like the overall story?
It was visually interesting. They were always doing something.
It was paced well.
It was paced well.
The cuts were sometimes a little jarring, but it was, I think it might have been new to them. Like when they went from aura versions of Batman and Batwoman to them back on Earth, like that was a little cut just a little weird. They'd have like one panel instead of like a couple as a transition, but I liked it.
Yeah, it was
like,
good.
The story flowed better than I thought it would for how disjointed the elements of it were. And at the same time, if you need three different stories to tell one story, like an A story, a B story, and a C story.
We could have just in the whole energy beings thing, which was the weirdest bit.
Yeah, but then you'd have to call it Prisoners of Two Worlds, and that sounds stupid.
Prisoners of the Aliens. It's a title you can name.
Karn and Zebo.
Karn and Zebo's crazy adventure.
It stuck with me. I'll say that. The story stuck with me. I don't know if I'm still on board with it, but I'll remember it.
Especially like a moldy roast.
Especially women, the same on any planet.
That actually was probably the best part of the whole thing.
I was driving with Tina, and real quick, I was describing that scene to her because I had just read it. I was like, I told her, like, he's like, this alien just said, like, women are the same on any planet, just worried about putting on lipstick and powder. And Tina was just like, that's really messed up. And I was like, I know, super is.
So that does it for another thrilling, in quotation marks, issue of Superstitious and Cowardly. We shall be concluding our look at Batman the Silver Age with probably one of the more famous issues of Batman from this era. Batman 156 is from June 1963, Robin Dies at Dawn. So before we go into this isolation chamber to prepare for the next recording, why don't you tell the nice kids how to get a hold of us, John?
Listeners can find us on Twitter. We are at SECBatPod. You can use that as the hashtag to get a hold of us or the hashtag RobinsRegulars. Listeners can also email us at sac.alfred@gmail.com. We'd love to hear suggestions for episodes, the artwork that you might have made, toys, collections, anything. We want to connect with you. SAC episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find a full list on our website listed in the description. And with that, I have been John Pfeiffer.
Oh, I'm just so tired, John. I don't know if I can get through another episode. But if I do die here, I just want to know that you love me. Please, it'd be so nice.
I mean, I like you.
And I've been Chris Winia. Let's go then. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
We might cut this entire thing.
I will.